any petitions to table today? 5.0, public question comments session. I remind anyone that wishes to speak to provide their name and their civic address, and to do so at the microphone at the front. For anyone wishes to speak today.
Morning, everyone. Jeff Mercer, acting chief librarian of Central Public Libraries, here on behalf of the library. I would just like to...
Jeff, we do need your civic address.
Currently at 12 Clover Street in Lunenburg. First of all, Central Public Libraries is proud of the library service we provide to the region of Queens. We strongly committed to continuing that service. We do, however, have very dire concerns about the location in which we currently provide that service in the town building. The building's structural integrity and other health-related issues are very strong concerns to us, as well, of course, the fact that the building is currently up for sale. Given so those concerns, I would just urge council to call urgency to...
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Katerina Cochran, 17 Enos Collins Lane, Brookwood. I just want to address the council again to emphasize on public housing. We just heard a football presentation for the mayor, which will increase our live here elderly population, and we also need housing staff who would able to work in the new manor. I just wanted to address that in order to buy housing, you have to sometimes invest money to make money, to increase your tax base in order to invest and attract people to move here. We have a lot of good things going right now. We're talking about a new library, we're talking about a new pool. All these things need to be financed, and we can only finance it if we increase tax base for the town. And in order to do that, we need more housing, people to move to. And so I would like to address the fact to support the new buildings that are presented to this council, and look at the projects that are on the table. Really good care in terms of see the two projects separated from each other, see really the costs that are involved, and take a good look at it. I've lived in many countries in this world, and I know council how work. My brother's a mayor since 12 years, so I've been in these kind of conversations a lot. And all I can say is, invest in your community. It will come back to the community, and the community needs to show that there is a future. You can't just go status quo. Really show a future community where people want to move to, and then you do increase your tax base, and you can support all these projects right now.
Thank you, Katerina. Any other comments? Hearing none?
Everybody, I'm Elder Staff, the Lombard of the Street. Just a comment to back all this stuff up. I'm involved in physician recruitment, and now not only physician recruitment, but particularly nurses and other healthcare professionals. I'm telling you, this is a real problem for us with the housing. So I'm hearing that we have to kind of be like other other communities do it this way. I think we have to make a big deliverable. Do it. What works for us here? We really, I mean, even if we start to, because we're going to have a lag time of several years to get some of these projects up and running, I don't think we have the time to wait. And I agree with Adriana that, that we need to invest what we're looking for 10 years down the road. But if we want a hospital here, which is really important for everybody, this is fundamental. So I think we really have to think about it. And I would also like to say that I think, again, make it a made in Liverpool solution. But to do that, I think we really have to communicate with people better. I see that across the board, with physicians, with Department of Health, and doctors in Nova Scotia, and all that, people don't sit down together and talk about things and work things out and email everybody. I would really like to see people talk face to face and work these solutions out. And that should be a made in Liverpool solution. So I guess that's my spiel for today. But we've got so much here, and we're so blessed, but don't communicate enough. So, and process becomes more important than the solution. So I'd like to see that change in Liverpool. So I guess that's my spiel.
Approval of the minutes, regular council, February 28th, 2023, moved by Councillor Charlton, seconded by Councillor Hawks. All those in favor? Contrary? 7.1, tax exemption bylaw. And the Pino is going to assist us. There is a recommendation within your package. Councillor Brown.
I recommend the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to bylaw 14 respecting tax exemptions.
And that's seconded by Councillor Romero. Ms. Vino.
So as we're all aware, this is part of the process that we do every year to approve a list of properties that are granted an exemption. And the list was part of the motion and also was distributed for review at the last council meeting. This is just a formality, correct? That there's a second reading?
It's the way bylaws go.
Okay.
And I noted that Southwest Nova Biosphere Reserve was added, as we did note that they are another non-for-profit. For those in those who are present who may not be aware, the Region of Queens provides tax exemption to nonprofit organizations who would otherwise receive a tax bill. It's something that we can do, we do not have to do, but we so chose to do that. And Ms. Vino, I didn't alert you earlier to this, do we have an approximation on the total assessed value that we?
We would, but I don't have it.
But you don't have it.
No.
I know.
Yeah. The dollar value.
Is the dollar value there?
In
our second page.
$241,000.
$241,000, right. Which is our way of expressing support for non-for-profits. Although we do collect that from all the taxpayers paid toward that 240. Any other questions? Councillor Brown?
Just to get some clarification, even if we didn't have this bylaw in place, some of these organizations would be tax exempt anyhow under provincial legislation, is that correct? Like churches? No?
No. If I may, that's not correct. So the Assessment Act exempts certain properties, which would be the church proper,
right,
as well as other organizations, like I think the Royal Canadian Legions are exempt, and some other organizations are exempt by legislation, by the Assessment Act, and those that are not are in this policy.
Are in this, okay.
So if they're not in this policy,
I wasn't sure if some of
the Assessment Act, they have to be exempt.
Okay. I wasn't sure if some of the ones that were exempt by law were in this list.
No.
Thank you.
questions? If not, I'm going to ask for the motion for vote. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed. Serenity Now Lane, Western Head Road naming. There is a recommendation. Councilor Charlton.
I move that the Council of Regional Council and Municipality approve the naming of a new road off Shore Road in Western Head as Serenity Now Lane.
Seconded by Councilor Gidney. Director McLeod.
Yeah, just a brief background that the petition has been received respecting the naming of a new private road off of Shore Road in Western Head as Serenity Now Lane. The name submitted is acceptable to the planning department. This is no significant code name in our code listing. The applicant is actually the owner of the road, so as such, the petition is in line to the reasons that name or name policy.
Questions of Director McLeod? Not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Seven point three. Mr. Levy, our clerk. There is a motion, and then we'll ask for the background. Councilor Charlton.
I move that Council of Regional Community Municipality rescind the motion it offered at the January 10th, 2023 regular council meeting. Placement of a new Thomas H. Fridall Library on the lands of the municipality adjacent to the Fighting Hill at the end of Queen's Place Drive.
Is there a seconder? Councilor Gidney. Mr. Levy, would you give us just a little bit of background on the process?
Yeah, so at the last council meeting, there was notice given to rescind the motion, and within our ways of order, that notice accepted. So, in the report, it outlines the rules of order stipulations, and since notice was given, whereas if no notice is given, it's a two.
Comments from council. Councilor Charlton.
So, as you're aware, I was the council member that brought this forward, and the problem that I have with this is the cost of the road put the fit. And I'd just like to start this by saying I think the mayor is doing great work, not a reflection of them. The library and steering committee has many members made up who are volunteering their time to bring forth these recommendations. However, have not approved to spend $950,000 on a roadway. When we agreed to sell this land to the manor, it was on August 9th, and the manor presented us with their two maps where they proposed they could end up with a one-story or a two-story. There, as it was mentioned this morning about the cooperation agreement, the cooperation agreement did not require us to provide water and sewer extension or a road. That $950,000 has not been passed in our last year's capital budget. We have not voted on it as a motion. And on February 28th, at our last council meeting, it was stated by our director of engineering, who last spoke with the project managers for this project in mid-January of 2023, that it did not require water and sewer extension. It's also noted in the minutes that we just approved exactly that. So I'm having a hard time with this site because I understand, based off of that map, that the manor board has shown there's a possibility for future development of that road. However, don't own any land beside that. Those are all privately owned. There's been no proposals for us to buy those properties. There's been no conversations about that. I understand that there could be value in a future development for that road later. But I don't understand why we would spend $1 million for that now on what ifs. Your council may not support any future development buying private properties on those that we have no idea. And so it's being stated that the manor needs that library needs that road. And again, I go back to the cooperation agreement, did not agree to extend the road. It was noted that they would tie into water and sewer where it currently ends at the cul-de-sac. So we're in preliminary budget discussions right now. We're talking about proposed deficits, maybe having to raise our tax rate, which I don't see how we can invest $1 million into a road that's going to nowhere at this point, no plan, and then pick and choose other projects that we have in front of us, like housing development, for example, that can happen. So I appreciate the library. I'm a library user. I want to see a new library. And to Jeff Mercer's comments, there are concerns from the library now, but I think that's a separate conversation that we need to have. And as a member of council, I've brought that up before. There are concerns about building right now. If that shuts down tomorrow, where are we going? Because that conversation we had as well, regardless of when we did. So I think those are two different things. I think we need to come up with a plan. We potentially house a library somewhere temporarily till we have a site set out. It was also noted in a previous meeting that this committee is not applying for grants because council didn't tell them so with staff. In the steering terms of reference that we approved back in April of 2022, it notes that they will grant submissions with our municipal staff. So there's a lot of conflicting opinions here. The other thing that has been brought to my attention is where this library is being proposed, there's a drain. And I confirmed that with our engineering department. There is a drain there, which my understanding, when Queens Place Crossing was built, they had to allocate all the water off of the property so they didn't flood, and it drained out behind the sledding hill. So I'm uncertain why that was not factored in to the site selection process, because you cannot build a library on top of those drains. They'll have to be moved, which will require major excavation, which is an additional cost. In the latest minutes from the library committee, there's a concern that the $3 million for the library isn't enough, and it was asked if that could be discussed at budget. So we have $3 million for a library. The road work is proposed at $950,000. It does not include any power to the library site. And now there's the factor of this drain. If that drain has to be altered, which I don't see how it could not be, because you can't place the library on top of it, then you're altering a water course, which the Department of Environment then becomes involved, which is going to create further delays as well. So I do not believe that the information to date that that library is best suited in that spot, and that is why I am sending the motion.
Other comments? Councilor Romero?
So can I ask you, Andrew Amos gave us an estimate of $400 per square foot. What did that include? That included the building, and it stated in the minutes that it included the furniture and equipment.
So for the construction budget initially was set at $3 million based on the cost a year ago. So that's based on a construction cost of a building of $400 a square foot, which is actually the building. 6,000 square feet at $400 a square foot gives you $2.4 million.
Okay.
The other $600,000 is for parking lot, it's for drainage you talked about, it's for power, it's for his fees, any architectural fees, and all the other costs that are associated with it. HST, all those get you the $3 million.
And we're going to do all that on $600,000?
That's the plan. That's the plan, yes.
Other comments? Councilor Brown?
As we just heard from the presentation by Queens Care Society, they do in fact want the extension of the road and the sewer, which we are committed to doing. I think if we want this project to go forward, so it's not the full cost of the road extension and the service extension that's going to be borne by the library. I think that's most of it is going to be borne by the new manor, and the last little bit of a tie-in for the library is not going to be a huge portion of that cost. I also think that we had the committee, we had members of the public, members of council, picked the best site of a group of all of our sites. It's gone back to them a couple of times. This is the best site that the committee has chosen. And any other site we make is going to cost us more money. It's going to be a lesser site. It's not going to be as good as the site we have. So regardless of what we do, we're going to end up with a lesser structure. We're going to end up with a lesser library. I don't see the sense in changing this now. We need to go forward before the library is gone.
Other comments? Councilor Gidney?
I agree with Councilor Charlton. You know, and one other thing is the sliding hill is going to be affected. So these are a lot of factors that are going to increase the cost. And I can't support anticipated costs.
Anyone else who wishes to speak? Councilor Muse?
So, listening to the Clean Society today, I don't see why they couldn't turn the parking lot right around on 90 degrees and come off the road that's going to go around the back of the building. You know, I don't see in any of the contracts that we said that we would extend that clean place broadly. They want to pay for it? I didn't hear that today. So I don't think it's in their budget that they want to pay for this road extension. I think they can turn the parking lot around. The other thing is, I was looking at plans from the library, reading the minutes, you know, and our works department has said they don't want to take care of another building in the parking lot. And so I'm looking at the plans, and it's 24-car parking lot. That's a lot of parking. And there's more work for the works department. They're having a problem now keeping up. So I don't see putting the library down there.
Comments? Carlton?
I'd just like to ask our CAO if this drain was part of the site selection for the project of that correspondence.
As council's aware, there's 8 sites that were reviewed. The committee decided on what the criteria was and the locations as far as the parameters of the boundaries of where the library wanted to go. They looked at 8 sites, and all those assessments were done as far as upgrades of roads and streets and sidewalks and sewers and all those types of things were all considered as part of our initial assessment by our Director of Engineering and Public Works. And then the second part of that, as far as the assessment by the project manager, took into consideration all those factors as well. So our project manager is well aware that there is a water course that was artificially created. It's not a natural water course, so it doesn't apply, I don't believe, to the Environment Act. Artificially created by the municipality of Pikeville. But obviously that water layer that needs to be addressed, and that's all part of the project manager's plans for that case of the building and stuff like that.
Thank you. motion, something is trying to eliminate a library, but just trying to find a better location or whatever it may be, that's the decision of council.
Deputy Mayor Fancy, would you take the chair?
Yes.
Rescinding this motion would in fact cause more delays and extra costs. We have already spent money on 4 test sites. There has been discussion, if it's rescinded, then we could perhaps look at building it on Queen's Place. I believe it's very important that we move forward on a decision that was made months and months ago. Yes, we are not committed to taking the money from the sale of our land to Queen's Manor and provide them their infrastructure services. However, if we do not do that, then we know when we look at their design principles, residential scale, outdoor-indoor recreation space, community-focused, that $1 million is going to come from their design principles. It has been the historic action of the Region of Queens when money has been spent on land sales that the money goes back into infrastructure. When the money was, when Best Western bought their land, the money was put into the road that goes in front of Queen's Place. The decision could have been made not to build that road, but simply to have just come into Queen's Place in your parking. It's because of that road infrastructure that we see Queen's Manor looked at that site as a site for their new thing. I am going to ask for a recorded vote on this motion for our records, and I urge council to get on with what we have decided to build at the best location. We have all received a multitude of emails from people throughout the region, just stating that there's parking, there's lights. I am not concerned about the fact that it's going to create 24 new parking spaces for Public Works to plow. That is but a minor aspect. We already know about a high level of service we provide to the town of Liverpool, or the former town of Liverpool. If our engineering and works department are so overcharged that they cannot plow an additional 24 parking spaces, then something is seriously wrong in that department. We plow Queen's Place, plow all the streets in Liverpool, starting as soon as snow falls, and I really urge council to move ahead, make the right decision, and please, our library committee has been doing eons of work. They're representing you. They were well chosen as library users, as library staff. A young mother who uses the library as she's homeschooling, we have a senior. I just urge you to please, please, we need to move forward with a project. And this is a good project. We have the money for it. The longer we delay, the more the price will rise. So if we're worried about tax dollars, then we ought to worry about delaying this project. The more we delay, the more construction prices rise, and the more this is gonna cost us in the end. So I just urge you to please.
Okay, is there any I was reviewing all the information that we had concerning library, creation of the library done on April 12th. That we sent everything through. April 27th, they had the first meeting. Everything was discussed. And then on May 18th, it viewed 8 sites, that we were not privy to the 8 sites, I'm not sure what the 8 sites were. And to me, it feels like it was always, I'm not saying that was, but I feel it was predetermined where it was going to be. In the meeting, in the minutes of the May 18th, one comments by Andrew Amos was that the current library site is too nice for just a library, and that if that were a chosen location, we need to stand out more prominently than the current school. You know, there are pools being built together with the first design as waste, together with Queen's Place, as a waste heat, and from the arena could heat a pool. So there's another there. And then he made the same suggestion on the third meeting. He suggested the only way to proceed with this project is to combine with the pool, and it would need at least that we should at least consider it. Motion was defeated because it was, we thought it would be a better location. Committee would not give us a second location. They give us 3 sites compared to the first site. And then was brought back to council. The same motion that we defeated was brought back to council. It was disputed that it wasn't properly designed. The mayor will rule that, and we voted on it again, and it was passed. I think it's time that we stand up and say, no, that's not the place for the library. There's going to be other locations, and I think we should be reviewing that. I'm not saying it. The library committee did a great job, and they picked some good ideas, but I think there may be a better location.
Council Gidry, anyone else to have any more comments? Council Mayor?
I understand what Mayor Norman is saying regarding we need to get on with the library, and we do. We do need to get on with this project. We're desperately in need of a library. The only thing that really scares me is these costs, because last year our current estimate was $400 a square foot. It's $2.4 million. And we know the contractors are not holding the prices today at all. So if that increases at least 10%, that's approximately $2.75 million, roughly. I'm just afraid that this library is going to cost us way more than what we expected in this $3 million. If you include the electrical, the excavation costs, I guess the parking lot is included, so I just don't see where we can do this in the scope of $3 million, and that's what scares me.
Mayor Norman?
I could, no matter where we built the library, it's going to have costs, and the longer we delay it, the higher those construction costs will be. We looked at the other sites. We knew if we built them on the Centennial Park, in the Privateer Park area, which I don't know why we would ever even think of the floodplains of the Mersey as a suitable place to build anything, that we would have to pile in. They did the bore test, but they really wouldn't know what they would get until they dug the hole. We'd have to put it up massive high for projected climate change. There were other sites that may have probable contamination issues. Sherman Hines, that site was noted as a wonderful site someday for housing. Major cost to demolish the building. This is the proper site. And the more we debate, the longer we put it off, the more it is going to cost to build it. If we make a decision today, then we can continue on with the progress. If not, we're going back to square one, and we're going to have additional costs another year of where is the site, what is it going to look like, and more construction costs. We were all elected to make decisions which are for the betterment of our community. And rescinding this motion is not for the betterment of our people. And I remind you, Deputy Mayor Fancy, when you call for the vote, it will be a recorded vote.
Yes.
And when we do recorded votes, we start in alphabetical order rather than around the table. So just, so please remember that and do not call quickly for the vote.
Yeah, when we brought back the other locations, they all had a premium. And if we reject this now, we're going to raise costs, plus we're going to incur the premiums for any other site that are going to be there, and I think that'll more than offset this. We're also getting a reputation in the community as not being able to finish anything we start, and this is unfortunate. There's not the courage to stick with the decision that we make. We backtrack on everything, we flip-flop, and we're losing all the respect of our community members by doing that. It's sad, and I think that this is the best location. It was the best location picked by the community, by the professionals, by the members of council on that committee. And I think for us to overrule it, it seems like we've been trying to throw one roadblock after another on this project, and it feels like we don't want the library. And I'm sorry, you know, people are going to say that I'm picking on them, but that's the way it feels, because it's been one roadblock thrown in after another, and we need to get this built. It's for the betterment of all of our community. It doesn't have to be in downtown Liverpool. This is for everybody in Queens County, and I think we need to go ahead.
So my question is, the other sites was 300,000 to 600,000 more. So site that we are currently looking at or to build on or have approved or whatever, is that going to stay within that range of 300,000 to 600,000, or is it going to be more?
Question is best answered by our Director of Engineering and Public Works, because that 950,000 came from him. It didn't come from me, it didn't come from Queens Manor, it didn't come from the Library Board. That was his recommendation and his submission for the budget discussions, extend the road to the end. His feeling was there's no sense building half a road, if you're going to build it all the way. 950 is to build the whole road. What they presented today was to build the road, or what they suggested today, I think I think they talked about 60 meters, something like that, 60 or 80, whatever it was, to get them to the end of their driveway. Okay? And so our engineer, I've had several discussions with him, he will not build a road to end flat like that. It has to have a cul-de-sac at the end, similar to what it is now. And so once you put the cul-de-sac in, you're at the library property, or the proposed library property. So it costs, the additional cost, if council does not wish to extend the road at all, then there's no cost to anybody. If council is going to extend the road for Queens Manor and put the cul-de-sac in, as our engineer is saying, it's required by his, I assume it's by engineering standards, then you're right at the library property and the extra distance might be 20, 40 feet. So it's nowhere near 950,000, there's nowhere near even 200,000. Substantially less to get to that extra few feet for where the driveway for the library needs to go or the proposed library needs to go. So suggest that the road is for the library. If you're not going to extend it for Queens Manor, that's true. But if you're going to extend the road for Queens Manor to what they've asked for, then the road is very little, has any impact on the library or that property for whatever it gets developed for in the future.
That's what Charlie.
My issue is that you were never asked to extend that road. That was never a discussion or deciding factor in selling the land to Queens Manor. And it was referenced at our last meeting by our CEO that the manor had obviously assumed we would extend the road. The point I go back to is that we did not agree to extend that road. So it's difficult to sit here as a counselor, and I can understand what Councilor Brown is saying about losing faith in us, and we look like a council, we can't make a decision or flip-flop. But the reality of this is that we did not have this information. We made this decision. And if I personally would have had this information in January, I would have never voted and changed my mind to support this location behind the sledding hill. So it's very difficult to make decisions without all the facts. This proves that. If we had all these facts, this conversation would have been much different. And sure, to the people from the outside looking in, it makes it look like we can't make a decision, but I don't feel comfortable making decisions without all the facts. And when the facts change, I feel like that's the perfect opportunity to say, yes, Mayor Norman, it could cause delays, but it's not on us that we didn't have all those facts. It is on us to reconsider once we have them. I would just like to note that in the committee terms of reference, under bullet point 3, says the committee will work with the project manager to review potential site location for a new library during accessibility and community fit, along with expected capital and operating costs. We're extending the road so far, Mayor, as a discussion, we obviously have not had an agreed upon price. We're talking about extending it from where the mayor would get an extension to the library. That's a capital cost that was not ever disclosed to that budget. Under item number 7, it says the steering committee will support staff of Social Public Libraries Board and municipality in its consultation with provincial and federal departments and agencies that may provide funding opportunities. We're told this committee did not look at any grants. Other municipalities have built libraries and they partner with the province and the feds. They do not put this all on the taxpayer. I feel like this is very much turning into, if councillors do rescind this motion, that it looks like we don't support the library. And I'll again say, I do support the library. We approve these terms of reference. Under bullet point 10, it also says, assist the CAO and chief librarian with organizing meetings, conducting research, preparing reports, overseeing grant submissions. I'll note that to Councillor Gibney's point, committee met first on April 27th, meeting number 1. On May 18th, 3 weeks later, meeting number 2, they had their site selected. So there was no work done with the grants. And I don't mean this to come off in the wrong way at all, but I think, again, this goes back to, this is the perfect opportunity to hit the stop button and make this the best for Queens. There's concerns that there are additional funding needed. There's risk with that drain. As far as I'm concerned, I think there is a risk there. So there's risk for additional costs. Have not reached out to the province or the feds asking for funding opportunities. So I don't believe that it's responsible, I'll speak for myself, to move forward in this way when these facts have come forward. The sidewalks currently end where Queens Manor land is the land they want to buy. The only obligation we have is to provide water and sewer to the property line. There. That's been confirmed by our Director of Engineering. Past councils may have allocated that money, but we're not bound to that, as you said. And again, it comes back to the fact that you're the ones who decide and have that conversation and agree to authorize those funds, and we did not. So it seems like there's some conflicting opinions that the mayor assumed we'd extend the road. Now someone's saying they're asking. That's not any of the facts that were presented when we agreed to sell that parcel land. And everything that manor project is proposing, like you want to do for the residents, is amazing. Really is. It would be a huge benefit to that. But I just do not appreciate making big decisions like this without all the facts. And I will stand strong on that, and I'll call for the question.
Okay, well, the question has been called.
Supported vote.
Vote. So I guess I have to go around the...
No.
Okay.
So just so everybody's clear, the motion is to rescind the motion regarding the library location. So you're voting on rescinding the motion. Okay? And so in alphabetical order, Councillor Miro, yes or no? Councillor Brown?
Hell no.
Councillor Charlton? Councillor Gidney?
Yes.
Fox?
No.
Councillor Mews?
Yes.
Mayor Norman?
No.
Deputy Mayor Fancy? So the vote is passed 5 in favor, 3 against.
actually, we usually don't wait, so. 7.4, Community Investment Fund. There is a motion, there is a motion within the package regarding 7.4. Councilor Gidney?
I recommend that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality provide grant funding to CJQC Radio Society in the amount of $2,775.15. 2022-23 Community Investment Fund.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. Mark?
Roberts.
Roberts? Once upon a time. Big name. Mayor.
So we're here today, and the request is from, as we know, QCCR Radio. Their request is for a capital upgrade to replace their main broadcasting studio with a mixing board, distribution amplifier, and accompanying software. All the required documentation was provided, and they meet the criteria of our community.
Any questions? Councilor Gidney?
I just want to note that the Radio Society had requested $300. We approved $2,775. And the reason for that is about the 50% of funding eligible expenses for alterations and improvement for assisting community infrastructure that provide the light of the facility at least 10 years. So the amount that they're looking for was $5,550.30. 50% of that is $27.75.
Any other further comments before I ask for the question? All those in favor? Contrary? Seven point five, Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center HVAC study. There's a recommendation within the package. Councilor Gidney.
I recommend that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality approve entering into a contract with UMAC Energy Limited for HVAC investigation at Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, 19 Main Street, Liverpool, at a cost of $10,975 plus HST. Budgeted in 2023-2024 fiscal year.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Fancy. The background.
So, as part of the grant brought last time, we consulted with Dumas Energy to do an HVAC assessment of the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center. So, that will identify a better system.
Questions? I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Pass. 8.1, administrative property tax exemption. This was brought forward. The last meeting, council requested to see a tiered level and what it would look like. So it's here before us. So Director Vino.
So as you all are aware, we currently have a tax exemption in the amount of $300 for our low-income residents. Exemption is up to $30,000, and we were asked to go back and look at the tiered system. So our manager of finance has prepared a tiered system based on practices in other, similar to other municipal units. And you will see that she has split them out in terms of less than 20, 20 to 25, 25 to 30, and how many number of exceptions that this year would have been in those categories to estimate the cost for next year. So we also have, we also talked a lot about the increasing the flow tax exemption
system, the cost would be $125,000 and change. That's the estimate based on what we've seen last year. May have more applicants, we may have less. It really depends. All we know is what we had last year, so that's what our manager of finance based her calculations on. So I guess from a staff perspective, as we are in the middle of budget preparation, I'm looking for direction from council as to what to in the budget. We have a budget meeting on the 21st of March. Is it council's wish that we change to the tiered system, in which case the budgeted cost will rise to $125,000? Or is it council's wish that we increase the exemptions to $350,000 for everybody who meets the criteria, in which case the budget would increase by $22,500? Or does council wish to keep current rate of $300 flat rate for all of the people who earn less than $30,000? We have $100,000 in the budget currently that have all received a draft of. But that's what we're looking for.
Just in review, three options. Leave it at 300 rather than the 350, as we had suggested, for a flat rate. We leave it at last year's rate, it is at 100,000. If we increase everyone who applies to 350, then it's 122,500. Or if we do the tiered system, it would be 125,050. And note that in the tiered system, there would actually be people who would go up to 400. There would be people that remain at 300. And there would be some to 350. So as we know how finite those budgets are, we need to know if you wish for 100, 125, 122, 500, or 125, 50. Floor is open for discussion. Councilor Brown.
I think we all know that assessments went up a significant amount this year, and I think the tiered amount helps the people that can least afford the increase the most. It puts the money where it's gonna make the biggest bang for the buck for the people that are needing it. So I'm in favor of the tiered approach because I think it helps the most people.
Councilor Romero?
I agree with Councilor Brown.
Tiffany Fancy?
I'll agree with Councilor Brown.
So that's five. So so if you wish to prepare the budget, looking at a tiered amount, that's the majority there. So it's to continue on. Thank you.
Excuse me, do we move this to our next?
No, this is part of budget.
No, we'll need to change the policy.
There'll need to be a change of policy. So we would have to in our next. So we'll put it in the budget as the tiered, but at our next meeting, the council that will come direct to a recommendation as a change of policy.
I think that's what Councilor Ginn meant. Do we have to in previous discussions? Do I move that this will come back as a policy for the next meeting?
No. I'd like to move that we bring it back at the next possible opportunity to have this as a recommendation to implement the tiered approach.
And that's seconded by. We don't need
that.
Good.
Yep.
Grant writing. Council wish to add this. Councilor Charlton.
I just like to note that this was not exactly what I asked for, and suggested by you that council have a discussion with this. So do you have some share with us in what thought process was into adding grant writing under discussion?
No, I do not. You had, it had been suggested by council that this be added to a particular staff person's, job description. But I believe before we do that, we need to have an understanding of what the expectations are from grant writing. And so that is why it's here as an open discussion. Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Me, it would be, Ed, we talked about the library and now we got the pool coming up. I guess where are we going with grant writing? And I, that would be my question, I guess, more so than anything, because, we have not made any applications. And are we missing out on opportunities and is it because we don't have personnel to write them? And, is there any way to be able to make this so it could accommodate it somewhere along the way? What direction do we need to take so we don't miss out on, say if there was $100,000 or $1 million, that we're losing that as an opportunity when we're not even writing for the grant? I guess that's just the question.
Neil?
Seems to be some misconception that staff aren't doing their jobs or applying for grants. Our staff apply for grants on a regular basis. And so sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not successful. Each department looks after their own grants. So for instance, our Director of Engineering and Works, if there's a grant out there, he applied for a grant for EV chargers for the Beach Meadows project. We had detailed designs done. We knew exactly what the cost was going to be. We knew where it was going to go. So we could fill out an application and do it, and we were rejected, okay? Our director or our accessibility coordinator applies for grants all the time for accessibility projects. Sometimes she's successful, sometimes she is not. So in my discussions with my staff, they're not comfortable saying, have one person in the whole organization be responsible for grants. So our Director of Engineering and Works is not going to say to one staff person who's not technically competent that you fill out the grant application for this project, because the person's not going to know the answers, they're not going to know how to fill it out, and they're going to go back to the Director of Engineering Works constantly. So it's going to take more time of the Director of Engineering Works to fill out the application than it would be if the Director of Engineering Works fills out the application directly. And so all my staff have the same opinion. If it's economic development, if it's recreation, who apply for grants constantly every month, they know what they're applying for, they know where the funds are, and they apply for grants on a regular basis. So we're applying for grants on a regular basis, all of our staff are, that have the time and have a project. The issue we have is you cannot apply for a grant unless you have a project. So right now, the library, we have an idea, we don't have a project. We had a preliminary location, but we don't have a location. We don't have a building size. We don't know what the technology is going to be. We don't know what the capital cost detail, the final detail plans are going to be. The same for the pool. Have a location, potentially. We don't know if it's going to fit or not, but we have a location identified by council. But we don't know what the capital costs are going to be. We don't know what the operating costs are going to be. We don't know what the technology is going to be. And most grants are specific to a particular project. And so for the pool, we have an idea, but we don't have a project. So we can't apply for a grant for a pool unless you want to apply for a study. That's what you can do, preliminary, you can apply for a study. But we can't submit an application to build a pool or build a library or build any type of infrastructure until we have detailed designs. As you saw yesterday, the announcement was made for the Waterloo Street project. That had very detailed designs done that were submitted to the province. The application actually was name, address, phone number, email address, and attach your detailed designs. So it wasn't a very comprehensive application, but it required a lot of work up front for the detailed designs. And all the questions they come back with are all about the designs. So we apply for grants on a regular basis, we continue to apply for grants on a regular basis, but the key part is, in order to do it, you have to have a project that's clearly defined, and we know what the costs are, we know what the designs are going to be. So many times we don't have that. So we can't apply for grants. And I think there was discussion with the MLA, and the MLA used the word shovel ready. They don't bother sending an application to the province unless you have a project that's shovel ready. You ready to go? Because to apply for a grant and then not know your costs, and then you're not going to start your project for 2 years, they're not interested in funding. They're going to send it back immediately and say, we want to fund projects this year. We want to fund projects that are ready to go, that are shovel ready. Not interested in funding projects that are 1, 2, or 3 years down the road. little perplexed by the discussion, but I, if you talk to any of the directors that are in this room or any departments, I expect they're all applying for grants when they're eligible for them and they have a project scope that's clearly defined that they know they're eligible for them to apply. And as well, there has to be money in the budget for it, so.
Oh, yes.
So for instance, we haven't approved our budget for next year yet, so our staff are very hesitant to apply for project funding for a project until they know that there's actually going to be the additional funding in the budget. So by not having a long-term 3-year, 5-year plan, our staff only apply for grants after the budget's approved when they know they actually have a project that council's approved. So it's difficult. We don't have, and I know our accessibility coordinator struggles with it all the time because a lot of the accessibility grants are 2-3-year programs, but she can't apply for them because she doesn't know if council's going to allocate the other portion of the budget for the actual budget's approved.
Just to continue on with that, if you don't mind. But I guess it's just from the budget discussion with and then we'll bring names and things to the project, to the series that I was told there really isn't any grants out there for the library and from staff, you know. And for our, even our full committee, we've got a lot of grants that we've taken apply for, and full committee again, they would be, it's just not there. If you can apply all you want, but you won't get them. So I'm thinking about, so I'm getting a bad feel of where we are with this. But again, part of it may be communication. Part of it is again, if you're even get into the project, I would think that if you get into the project too deeply, then you ask for grants and you can't get it because you're already into the project. You've got to be at the beginning of the project, not in the middle of the project, when you ask for the grants. So maybe it's communication, maybe whatever it is, but I'm going to, you know, all my discussions have been that there's no grants available or we can't use them.
And if I may clarify, there's hundreds of grants available. And so if you were to ask me today, is there grants available for a library from a province or the feds for a library, the answer is no, because they don't fund libraries.
Okay.
But there is funding available through our gas tax. You can use the gas tax fund to fund a library. Okay? There is lots of funding available for energy efficiency for public buildings. Not necessarily for a library, but if you want to build a public building, of which a library would be, there's lots of grant programs out there for energy efficiency upgrades.
Right.
Or for energy efficiency. So there's lots of grants out there, but if you say if there's funding available for a library specifically,
no.
The issue. And the same for the pool. The province does have funding available under their community recreation programs for pool facilities.
Right.
But if you go to the province and say, other than that, is there programs available? The answer is probably going to be no. They don't fund pools.
Right.
But if you want to look at funding available for technology, sure, there's grants available for all those. But it's not necessarily for a pool.
Right.
It's for a piece of public infrastructure. There's lots of funding programs out there, but you can't get it until you have a project. And so you take the example of the pool. Once we get to the point where we have a final plan done, depending on whether it's who does it, once you get a final plan done and you're ready that now you can go to tender, then you can start applying for grants. Because you're still going to be, by the time that you have your final design done, the time you award the tender, you're probably going to be 4 months to 6 months. There's lots of time to apply for grants in there. As long as you apply for the grant before you actually start construction, that's 6 months down the road, you're fine. You just can't wait until after you start construction to do the grant, and you can't apply for the grant 99% of the time before you actually have designs, because they're going to say, well, what's it going to look like? What's the technology? Because you're applying for grants based on the building construction, the technology, all those types of things, and until you know those details, they won't review our application.
Councilor Muse?
So, I'm a little lost on this, because we discussed grants, and we discussed that other regions had a grant person. So this is one I think it brought up, like maybe we should be hiring a grant person. And that's why we said that we feel that maybe one of the people that work at the region do the grants. We know that Megan's putting in for grants all the time, Elisa's putting in that, and Garrett put in for grants. But I have a big problem, like when we get to the part that we're going to build a pool or a library, who's going to be doing the grants? Like, is that going to be part of Megan's? The library, is that going to be Adam? Or, like, I know know, you say we're not gonna get a grant for a library, but for a building. So that's the part I have, like, do we have, should we train somebody at the region to do grants? And I do agree that they should be sticking in their own departments, but I just, you know, there was the discussion about hiring somebody else on, and I really don't feel that we're gonna hire somebody else on to do grants.
I guess there are some municipalities that have full-time grant writers, and in my discussions with my staff, they don't feel that's appropriate. They don't feel it's helpful because they're doing most of the stuff themselves now. So when you get into bigger projects, so when you get into, for instance, the Waterloo Street project, most of the work has to be done, the design work has to be done by our engineers anyway. So like I said, the application actually is very basic, very, very short, and you just attach the documents. The same will happen for a pool, the same will happen for a library, is once the project manager gets to the point where they have those designs done or that preliminary work done, then the project manager is going to tell us, here's the grant you can apply for, whether it's Efficiency Nova Scotia or all the other groups for technology, the ones for construction. They're going to tell us, for the most part, what's available. Ms. Roberts will know what's available under recreation somewhat. Mr. Grant will know somewhat what's available under engineering and public works as far as what the types of grants that are out there. But our project manager is the expert in that. They do buildings all the time. They're always applying for grants. So all that's going to happen is the project manager is going to say, okay, here's your specs for your pool to your library. And then, whether it's Mr. Grant or Ms. Roberts, are then going to fill out their name and address, and they're going to attach the attachments. That's what's going to happen. So the project manager for big projects does most of the work. And our staff will be the ones that submit it to fill out the basic information.
Councilor Charlton?
Struggling to understand this whole conversation because it was too previously, but I'll go back to the library, I guess, for that example, that they weren't applying for grants and they weren't going to because council didn't tell them to. So that was one reason why conversation came about. The other was stated
if
that...
If I could just, where did you hear or read that, that council told them not to apply for grants?
Mayor Norman, at a previous meeting, stated that there were no grants applied for the library nor would there be, council did not direct staff to.
I do not recall ever stating that. If you can find that in the minutes, that would be great.
I can do that. It was also stated that if we wanted to apply for grants, we would need a specific grant person by you as well, which we understood that at the time and why we're here. I get what the CAO is saying about departments applying for grants, and that's why I've been so confused about this process the whole time, because they have applied for grants, and I know they apply for multiple. So I don't really understand why we're here, except for if all of our problems result from a lack of communication or information. And so if we can just make sure everyone has all the information they need, I think we would resolve a lot of these problems.
Yes, thank you. And if we would have all the information we need, then council would have been aware that once the library is scoped out by a project manager, then grants could be applied. However, so is that the end of this discussion? Library.